Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's hear from everybody, okay? Why do you think the Niners lost this one? Where is your focus? Jonathan in the city, first up here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Jonathan. What's good?
Especially after a loss like that. Hey, let me tell you, man. I'm going to tell you guys again. This 49ers, this Kyle Shanahan team, they're repeat offenders. How'd they lose to the Minnesota Vikings last year? If you watch those two games, you can't tell which from which. Didn't they give up a big play just before the half last year? Same way they give up a big play, 97-yarder to JJ. And it doesn't matter who the defensive coordinator is. They just seem to just let the number one weapon on the other team go about his business. The coverage on special teams is trash. And aside from a few guys like Fred Warner, they're all trash. And correct me if I'm wrong. The book might be out on Purdy. I mean, what do you do against Purdy? You crowd the line of scrimmage with four, five, six guys, and not necessarily everybody's coming. And the guys that would drop coverage, they would drop right in the middle of the field. You know why? Because that's the Brock Purdy bread and butter.
So, Jonathan, so can I ask? Jonathan, I want to interrupt you because I want to ask you a question because you're a good friend of the show. And with full understanding of the frustration that fans feel, you're doing exactly what, in my opinion, I don't really understand why this happens after games. You just called almost every player on the team trash. Did you feel that way Tuesday morning last week?
Well, I've been feeling the same way since they lost the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know?
So the Niners, Jonathan, like, are you speaking from emotion or this is what you think? The Niners and the majority of the players on this team are trash.
No, I'm not saying that, but it seemed like when they're put in a jam, they don't have an adjustment. And that drives me nuts. I mean, as a genius, a stylist, how come when he's put in a jam, they can't do anything else? You know, like, oh, we're put in a jam because that guy missed a blob. Just a bunch of excuses. It's still dealing with it.
Yeah, Jonathan, thank you very much. I mean, that I can hear. I didn't love that there wasn't seemingly and I don't want to say there wasn't a better game plan, because sometimes, again, you and I talked about this. I don't want the Niners and their fan base to sound like a Serena Williams press conference. And here's what I mean by that, because Serena is wonderful. She's the greatest tennis player I've ever seen in my entire life. But Serena Williams, and maybe she's right to do this, Serena was so good that her press conferences after matches, if she ever lost, were always about her. If you lose, it's because something you did wrong, period. Never, ever, ever did you just get outplayed. And I was also frustrated that the Niners did not have a game plan that seemed to be working. But I don't want to make that solely about Kyle Shanahan and Nick Sorensen. Like, the Vikings had a game plan too, and they had players to go execute. And I thought they did a really good job, a really good job. And so that can be totally frustrating. But I'm going to, every single one of you that calls today, if you want to do this, like, on Tuesday, the Niners were Super Bowl favorites, and then 6 days later, Kyle sucks, and Brock sucks, and the Niners are frauds. Like, come on, man. Do you know how many of the top favorites in weeks one and two lost their game outright? More than half of the most favored teams in the... It's why all of you are out of your survivor pool. You're all gone.
They're all gone.
The Bengals lost, and the Ravens lost, and the Niners lost, and the Lions lost, 7.5-point favorites. You're all gone, unless you bet against whoever the Panthers are playing. Those are the only people left. So what? Everyone's trash? I don't know, man. Like, I would love to focus on the frustration of this game without moving all the way down the road of the Niners are now a horrible football team and they're fraudulent.
And I look forward to the new power rankings that come out from whatever source, because after week one, the Niners were either number one or number two alongside Kansas City. And Kansas City's 2-0, so they'll be number one. But if you want to look at all the teams in the NFL, you got Pittsburgh at 2-0. There are 9 2-0 teams right now, Mark. So is Pittsburgh now suddenly one of the 9 best teams in football, even though they didn't score a touchdown in week one?
Not according to Vegas.
I believe they have one touchdown on the year, and yet they're 2-0, which you can't be better than 2-0 after two games. But do we suddenly reconfigure our power rankings? And so the Niners are 1-1. So now at best, they're the 10th best team in football. I don't want to overreact to what I saw yesterday. I do think that there are things that you saw yesterday that are troubling.
Sure.
And for me, the Ayuk Trent rust is a thing. The lack of a backup running back is a thing. And, you know, you want to look at other issues. The pass rush has not been terribly effective.
Christian is not going to be back anytime soon.
Right.
Is a thing. Like, it's a thing.
It is.
I think everybody's expectations should probably move a little bit. I mean, we said for a year, well, the Niners will never do anything without Christian. Now he's gone. We had one good game, and everyone's like, I don't need Christian. No, you do. You need Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't mean that the season's over if he never comes back, or if he doesn't come back for half of it. Doesn't mean the season's over, but I don't find them to be as dominant.
Of course.
And I don't find that to be some sort of shot at Christian McCaffrey. If the Vikings lose Justin Jefferson for a period of time, that's not as good of a team. The Rams, you'll see them this week, lost both of their star receivers. Not as good of a team. How's Miami doing next week? How are we doing? Is that going to go well? The Chiefs just
How's Green Bay doing? Yeah, without
Green
Bay. Pretty damn good.
They won. Everyone thought they were going to lose, though. They're dogs in their home opener at Lambeau Field. You know who the favorite is now in the NFC to win the Super Bowl? Or to come out of the NFC for the Super Bowl?
Is it Philly?
No. It's the Niners.
Still.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see after tonight if Philly wins. But yeah, your point is well taken.
Philly will not. It's not even close. Philly will not, if they win tonight, pass the Niners. It might move up a few points.
Well, and these odds are looking at the long play.
Yes.
And you're expecting McCaffrey to come back. And you're expecting Trent and Brandon Ayuk to shake off rust and all those other things. But in the short look at what happened yesterday, it was a little bit of a shock to the system. The fact that Ayuk, again, week two, really a non-factor. Trent Williams gave up 4 pressures, and Trent looked old and stiff and slow. This is not the dominant Trent Williams that we're used to seeing. Minnesota's defensive front owned the Niners O-line.
They were much better. They were much, much better. And by the way, same on the other side of the ball.
Right.
The Vikings offense, I know Nick was solid, good, whatever word you want to use.
He was really good.
He was good.
He was good.
He was good. But
he was a lone wolf.
Yeah, but the rest of the defensive line wasn't, and the bottom line was they did not get home. They did not get home nearly enough on Sam Darnold. And I give the Vikings offensive line a truckload of credit for that. When I hear Fred Warner say that the Justin Jefferson play was basically his fault, which Fred, no, it wasn't. But you still love hearing stuff like this.
We're in a man coverage blitz. I was one of the guys that was blitzing, and I got to get home to get some pressure on Sam. You know, he's able to step up in the pocket and deliver a great ball to Justin, and we just got to find a way to get him down right there.
Okay. You blitzed. You didn't get there. You got beat. You got beat. So,
That's leadership.
It's leadership.
I mean,
he's awesome.
Because honestly,
he's the best.
Yeah, you know, I need to be better on that play. No, Fred, that wasn't on you. It was on Odom, who got benched, and it was on Jair Brown, who took a bad route. And, you know,
keep going.
Well, and
you want to know who Richard Sherman blames? He's played defensive back for this team.
Mooney Ward?
Richard Sherman podcast.
They allowed him to throw a 97-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. Unacceptable, no matter what part of the game you're in, no matter what situation, no matter if it's backed up, whatever the situation is. You got 2 safeties guarding Justin Jefferson. He split the defense. You should never put those guys in that situation. He should be doubled at all times. He's the best player on their football team. He's not a guy that you should let loose or not have an eye on or say, oh, they're going to run the ball. Let them run the ball. Let them run the ball in that situation. too deep. We stopped Justin Jefferson. They ran a play like that in week one, had some success. It was a post corner to Justin Jefferson, had some success. This week it was a corner post, and he was able to get behind the defense. Sam Darnold threw a beautiful football for the 97-yard touchdown.
Okay, so he's blaming the coaches. So it's a bad setup. The other thing I'd like to point out is the Niners should sign the ref immediately. That was the fastest referee I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm so glad you're mentioning this because I
that guy run.
Not only did he run,
it was incredible,
but he stops and then he sprints again. And then I don't know if you like
he gets out of the way,
but he flips his hips and he backpedals into the end zone.
Dude, I have no idea how that guy's legs are still attached to his body.
I'm so glad you pointed that out because I've watched the replay everything. Like 7 times and I'm like, dude, who is that ref? Nimble and fast.
I hate referee dibs.
Yeah.
No, this one I like.
And Mark took the lead. Yeah.
I like this one. This one's funny. This one's funny. Xfinity Mobile Tech. Line 510. Last year, Bosa blamed Wilkes for a play like that. This was not a play like that. I just want everyone to, like, that's my perspective. That was a zero blitz, what happened in the game last year. And Charvarius Ward should have intercepted the ball, but he didn't. But that's a poor play call. This is a different poor play call, if you will. But this was not an all-out blitz where you left Justin Jefferson one-on-one. What Richard is pointing out is you let him get a free run off the line. And he's the best receiver in football. And safeties don't run like that. You can't, like, that only works, to Fred's point, if you get home. You have to get home. And the Viking offensive line beat you. They beat you. They created time. And Sam delivered a beautiful ball to the best receiver in the game. And it went for 97 yards. And you lose, dog.
Yep. Yeah.
That's how you lose.
That's a big way in how you lose. I mean, you already didn't score inside the red zone, which is crushing, and then you give up a quick 7 the other way, and yet they still had chances to come back and right the ship. They had so many more chances after that. And, you know, you think about just the first half mistakes, that one and, you know, a questionable play call on 4th and 2 and a block punt and all the rest of it, and yet you still were only down 13-7 at the half.
Were you bothered not by the play call, 4th and 2 at the goal line, but just that he went for it? Were you bothered that he went for it?
I was not bothered. I was a little bit irked, not quite annoyed.
Surprised?
Yeah, surprised. And for me, at that spot where you're only down 3-0, you take the 3. And you take the 3 and you go out there and, you know, it's a tie game and you live to fight another day. I didn't feel like that was the level of desperation, but I know this. Analytics will tell you 4th and goal from the 2 is one that you should go for. Now, if you're at the 3 or the 4, certainly at the 5-yard line, they would have kicked it. So you get to the 2-yard line and it becomes like analytics will tell you that you're supposed to go for it.
It's almost like the world is challenging your manhood if you don't.
Exactly.
Like it's just like automatic now. You just go for it. That's what
from
you
the
do.
Two.
From the 2.
But or,
they're a little inside the 2.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you're at the 4, do you go? If you're at the 3, is it a tweener?
Yeah.
That's where I like analytics, I think, has somehow take it over. And
maybe I'm a weirdo on this. I actually liked the play call. I thought it was going to work. And who's your boy? Is it Van Ginkel?
Yep.
Yeah. He got a fingertip on it. But that was going to be a touchdown if he doesn't
beating
get a fingertip.
Trent Williams.
Well, he just jumped up. He didn't he didn't get around him. He just jumped. It was well timed. It was a good play.
But when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But Juwan Jennings, that ball was thrown to his chest, and he was going to catch a touchdown if Ginkle doesn't get there, or Van Ginkle, yeah. Whoever the hell he is.
Interesting you make
that point. That was my view of it.
Yes, my view was, I think the previous play, or maybe it was two plays before, where he threw it to Ayuk, and Ayuk caught it, but he was out of bounds. In the left end zone,
yes.
Juwan Jennings was by himself at the 5 yard line. If Brock Purdy just checks it down,
you're absolutely
I'm not saying he scores.
No, but he
was open.
He waited too long.
One man to beat.
Yep. She had to do it right away, and he didn't do it right away. Then it closed up.
He was locked on Ayuk. If he just would have dumped it off,
I agree with you.
Jennings might have had a chance to, you know, wiggle jiggle and get down and score.
And
but
he's huge. Like I would love his chances. Get a little going behind him, he probably would have gotten in, just like he did in the Super Bowl.
What about the 4th and 3 earlier in the drive from near midfield?
That one...
fantastic to Jennings.
Yeah, like that was one of Brock's best throws of the game.
Yep. But in terms of decisions from Shanahan, what do you think?
Mildly surprised, but I thought in the moment when it was set up 4th and 3, that's another sort of thing that they do in the NFL now. Like if you're just out of field goal range... you go for it. Here's how I read those things.
They were at the 45.
Yeah. I read those things as Kyle really, at that moment in the game, really trusted his defense. And as it turned out later in the game, that burned him. That burned him. Like, you go for it. In fact, he even said, you're going for it at 4th and 2 near the goal line, because he's like, if we don't get it, I love the chances of what's going to happen next.
Well,
two plays later, Justin Jefferson's doing the gritty. So Kyle thought that the defense was going to dominate the way that it usually does, and it didn't. So, that's all the concert. The whole thing is a concert. The whole thing is always a concert. I know we love to pick out one person or two people and freak out on them. Whole thing's a concert. And it didn't work real well yesterday. It didn't work together.
Yeah, before we go to the phones, just to respond to you, Grandy, I think that 4th and 3 at the 45 is almost a no-brainer, because you're too close to punt and you're too far to kick a field goal.
Are you too close to punt?
At the 45?
Well, put that thing down at the 9-yard line and let's go.
Well, you can, or you could do what Minnesota did. And you want to talk about breaks. The Minnesota punt team, where they had it downed, and then what's-his-face just stumbles into the end zone, and you get the ball back at the 20.
You could do what Houston did, too, and just line up your garden variety 60-yard field goal and kick that.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's
crazy what kickers can do now. It's crazy.
Yep.
Like, we're old enough to remember when anything north of 50 yards was like, dude, this is a long one. Guys, now, Fairbairn's lining up from 59 yards, and it's going through the middle of the goalpost.
Chip shot.
It's like it's got 10 yards to spare. I joked about this last night. How many years away are we from you get the ball on the opening drive? They kick it into the end zone. All right, we go out to the 30. All right, ready? You go 3 and out. All right, kick team. Here comes the field goal kicker. Just line up for an 87-yarder. Boop! 3-0. Gained 0 yards. Like, that sounds ridiculous, but this idea, these 60-yard field goals, you never even used to try that.
Yep.
Dudes are booting it through with 10 yards to spare. It's like when the
Cowboy kicker is ridiculous.
He's insane.
It's like...
well, they use him a lot because they don't score touchdowns. But anyway.
He, like the way he approaches the ball, it's like 58-yarder, and it's like he's just kind of flipping it.
Yeah.
Like a sand wedge. It's crazy.
How about Dave in Fresno? Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Mr. Willard, you said earlier you don't want two sides of the fence. You don't want on Tuesday after the Jets game, we're the best team, and then Monday, today, we're the worst team.
Right.
I agree with that. I would also like that same energy with Brock Purdy. We can't say we're doom and gloom without Christian McCaffrey, but in the same breath, oh, Brock is a top five quarterback. Because I tell you what they don't do with Lamar or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Burrow, if their running back is missing or players missing, they're still going to point to the quarterback. So we can't look at Brock and say, oh, yeah, he's a top five quarterback, but then give an excuse because you're missing McCaffrey, which we all agree is a great player, probably their biggest offensive weapon. But if you're a top five quarterback, it's a different ball game. If you're going to sit at the big boy table, there's no excuse because you still have the greatest coach of all time, Shanahan. You still have all your other weapons there. Okay, I'm not saying they lost yesterday because of Brock. I'm just saying we need to be consistent with that. If we're going to anoint him a top five quarterback.
But I would argue no one's doing that, Dave. Dave, you're putting words in our mouth on that one. And maybe you're not talking directly to us. I've never called Brock Purdy a top five quarterback. I don't really, it doesn't matter to me. Brock is, for me, this is my opinion, is good enough. I think he's really good. I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Lamar Jackson. I don't think he has to be in order to get paid. In fact, the top five quarterbacks who are getting paid right now in the NFL are none of those guys. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence are the top paid quarterbacks in the game. I think Brock is certainly at least as good as those guys, if not better. So I'm always sort of like hesitant right now with that phrase, Dave, same energy, because a lot of people use that to be like, well, if you're going to say this, then you've got to say that over there. And I don't. I don't. I think the Niners are a lesser entity without Christian McCaffrey. I think they'd be even more a lesser entity without Brock Purdy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, he's their starting quarterback. Yeah, of course, they'd be less without Brock. I'm just saying, even with Dak, they lose, it's all on Dak. Trevor Lawrence loses on Trevor. Like, if Jordan Love loses, it's on Jordan Love. With the Niners, it's like, well, you know, they're missing the left tackle, or the receiver's rusty. It's always an excuse, is what I'm saying. It's like, I like Brock. I think he's good. I think he's good enough to win with, and I'm not saying he's the reason we lost. I'm just saying, if we're going to treat him like one of the, you know, better quarterbacks, he's not without blame.
Well,
the last point,
go ahead, Dave.
You know, I was going to say, you know, people are upset. It's not that the season's over. I think we went into the game yesterday with the better team, with the better coach. And that was all the talk all off season, that this is still a great team and we have one of the premier coaches, and they laid an egg. Okay, and that's why people are calling they're disappointed. That doesn't mean the season's over. It doesn't mean they're all bums. It's just that it was not something we were, you know, expecting. Especially they're missing some key weapons on the offense too.
Dave, we got to cook, man. Thank you very much. You made your point, and it's a fair one. Of course, yeah, they laid an egg. You thought 17-0. Like, if you're going to go, well, they've got the better roster, the better coach. Well, I could argue then that if that's all that you need, then you win all the games.
I thought 5-0.
So the Chiefs,
to be honest.
And I didn't.
I thought 5-0.
I thought 4-1, and now I don't even want to think about the Cardinal game. It's too far away. I think they should win this weekend. I think they should win next weekend. And then let's see who's healthy and what's going on after that.
Sure. The Cardinal game looks a little bit more daunting. Well, it looks a little bit more formidable than it did. And the Ram game looks a little bit, quote, easier than it did. But I'm still focused on yesterday before we get to the Ram game.